We are continuing Wednesday. Clinton City Administrator Matt Brook with us. Matt, I know we had you in once where it was Wednesday last year, but you've been here just a bit over a year, like 2 weeks over a year, 3 weeks over a year. Do you count?
Yes. I guess I'm no longer a rookie.
You're not a rookie.
Rookie season over.
How's the year been?
I'd say it's been a really great year. It's been fast and furious, but you know, when you're surrounded with great teammates and great leaders, you know, it makes the time go by a lot quicker. And definitely with the great citizens of Clinton, it seems like, you know, there's nothing we can't accomplish together. And that's really why, you know, time flies when you're having fun, as I like to say. And so we've been having good quality fun as we move forward. So,
now, Matt, we mentioned, I mean, we've had you on before. You came to this job, first city job, came out of the military, had some private business, worked for that first city job. Is it what... I don't know what the expectations you had coming in, mm-hmm. but how is it matched up with what you had hoped, what you had thought about? How is it matched?
Yeah, really beyond expectations. I think, as we talked earlier today, before you know, in the past time we've chatted, mm-hmm. really a culmination. It's, you know, and I've always been one of those that, you know, you work hard and things come, you know, but I think there's a part of life that has some luck. And I feel blessed, my family does too, and lucky to be able to come to Clinton and have the experience that I had in life, because if you'd have seen me right out of college, I wouldn't have been the same person I am today, of course, nor the experiences of the military or private sector to be able to bring that. Those type of things and qualities, hopefully good, from the leadership, the coaching, teaching, mentor side, to bring that into a city. I think that's something that you don't always see every day, because, you know, if folks are only know one way and they grow up that entire time that one way, where I've been, you know, around the world and back several times, and there's other ways to try things, and we don't need to be stuck in a rut. We can give something new and give it a try. So I exceeded my expectations, having really enjoying my time doing what I'm doing, and that's a good thing in life, because life's way too short not to. So it's really truly been beyond expectations.
I know we talked before, so again, some of this we've talked before, has been with the military background, you come in with some ideas, and sometimes people from the outside have a perception of what a military veteran is, does, how they work.
Sure.
I don't know if you fit that bill or not, but do you get some of that people expect with your military background to work a certain way?
Yeah,
and then do you?
Yeah. I think initially, but then I surprise them, because I could be like, Roger that, Dave. We're going to get right through that ASAP. This is what we have to do. But life's more than that, you know. And so you can take those values and what you learn there, but you can then apply them. And so instead of having, you know, there's probably just as many acronyms in city government as there is in the military.
Maybe more.
Especially when you start working with, like, you know, there's a TIF and there's an abatement and stuff like that. So I think I surprise people a lot of times, because I'm able to, you know, my dad was always the wise one, where, you know, you basically, you leave your uniform or your business suit off at the door before you come in to the house, and you're who you are. And I've always kind of used that as my life, as well as, you may be one way at work or you may be one way at home, but, you know, who are you and how do you lead every single day? It doesn't matter what you wear or, you know, that you're, I never really, it's funny, people, I think, in life never really want to be stereotyped, like, oh, you're a military guy or you're a doctor or you're a teacher. And I've tried to steer clear of that, although you get labels because that's what you do. But I've always used it for the benefit versus the converse of not having benefit from that. And I think it's really just is you acclimate yourself to the crowd. If you're in a crowd and they're watching you and they're listening and you're saying things that may have been related to the military and they have no earthly idea what you're saying, then you're not communicating right. And so I think that's a big thing too, when you say, how our experience fits us, is how are you communicating today, and is that message getting across? Are they responding to you in kind, and are you reading your environment? Because you can't be the same everywhere you go. It's the same with personnel. Not all your personnel are the same. They have different needs, different concerns. They're at different stages of life. They may have new kids. They may have kids that graduated. So you can't treat every situation the same. So to be like that stereotypical military guy on TV that, you know, I was watching a movie the other night, and the guy goes, yeah, we met in Fallujah and we were fighting the Taliban, and my wife got mad at me because I said, time out, the Taliban's in Afghanistan, not in Iraq. But, you know, so you have to be able to put it in context of what you're listening and how you're then also delivering that message to your people, because they won't have the same experiences you had or the same understanding, so the message could go right above or right below them and pass them versus getting there. So
And because that's part of what your position is, and maybe you already are knew this, how to maneuver, you're dealing with you're the leader of the city, but you have the council you have to work with, and with their plans, with their ideas. Has that been a learning experience as well? I hate to use the word political, but I don't know a better word yet of dealing with the council and the citizens and how that all works. Again, a little newer venue.
Certainly. Well, you know, definitely if people are used to having one boss, then city administrator is probably not the job for them, because I also see the citizens as my boss too. And so it's a conduit. So the citizens speak with the representatives that are on the council and the mayor, and then the mayor then in the council then, you know, works with me, so then I can work with my staff. So originally when I came, and those at home can't see this, or maybe they could, but originally when I came, I thought
it was on webcam.
It is on webcam, that's right. So I'm drawing two triangles that meet in the middle, and that's me in the middle. And originally I thought it was up and down, but it's more linear. And how I mean by that is because you can have a city worker talking directly to a citizen, satisfying a project or a concern, and same thing. So really what we've done is we're trying now to, and that's kind of our flow, is if we just make it all horizontal across the board where it's clear communications, then if the council member sends a city person an email, I get included on that, we get the citizen included on that, so we can actually get what the issue is, bring it up, put closure to it, and then settle it, so it's all clear across the board versus, hey, can you pass this message on? Especially if you have to pass it on to Andrew out there. Hi, Andrew. But long story short is, really breaking down the barriers of how you get to what is the issue or concern that we're working with right now, and how can we best satisfy that, and then learn from that, because if you have 10 of the same things happening every week after week after week, you need to figure out a way how to solve those, and then you can move on to get to the bigger issues or even smaller issues. So linear.
I hesitate. Maybe it was an offhand comment there, but I'll throw this back at you. So I pay attention to the meetings.
Yes.
May not look like it, but yes. I pay attention.
Yes, sir.
Some comment was made about 10 years from now, nobody's going to care about what we did, you know, what a decision they were going to make, and I think maybe it was garbage rates or something. Oh. It was head rates. And you made some comment, I'll be here.
Yes.
Is that a plan? I mean,
yes, that is a plan. As long as the citizens and the council wants to.
But, you know, that may be a little bit unusual. You often don't hear city administrators talk about that longer term. Was that an offhand comment?
No, that's spot on. My wife and I talk about it all the time. I mean, we do have our three of our four kids are actually down south, but, you know, we like to go visit. Not necessarily, we spend a lot of time living in south. So one of my things is, you know, enjoy what you do and then do what you enjoy. And so we get to do that right now. We love being in Clinton and hanging out with the Clintonians, and we love the being in Iowa back again where we were gone for so long myself. And so I think if you want to move with the citizens and with the council and the mayor and everything, you want to move a city forward, you have to have continuity. And continuity where it's breathing life and good ideas and continuous versus just being stale. And, you know, but if I ever get to a point where I'm not moving and I'm that rock, well, then you got to tell me to leave. But I would like to stay and continue to see things through, because what I found is sort of like the military. It takes a while to move the ship. And moving that ship meaning if there's a lot of things that we're starting to work on, whether it's, you know, nuisance properties, whether it's getting the riverfront additions to the riverfront, whether it's helping the downtowns with the Main Avenue or, you know, Fifth Avenue South, whether it's helping developments or, you know, other developments and bringing more jobs in, that takes a while. It's just, you just can't come in and be like, hey, miracle worker, we're done. Because when that happens, what I've seen is then that city administrator might not be worried about the funding. They're going to spend what they have and not worry about tomorrow, where I want to worry about the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, because that's really what is a catalyst. If you look at the Fort Dodges of the world that are very similar to Clinton that have moved a little ahead of us, it's they've had some continuity, they've had some vision, that, and not only vision, but folks to be there and be responsible to move it to that strategic vision that's out there versus, hey, here's our vision, here you go. And so I think that's the offhand comments more true to home. And after moving, I don't know, Jody probably can tell you better, but lots of times in the military, it's nice just to be able to have your stuff all in one spot and not have to worry about moving again. So
maybe she's listening at home.
I hope she is. Hi, Jody.
We'll get to our local weather forecast in a minute. Just hang on.
It's 7:30 in the morning. You're running late for work. You step into the garage, hit the garage door opener. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Call American Eagle Overhead Doors in Morrison for commercial and residential 24-hour professional repair service. No job is too big or too small. They have 20 years experience and are fully insured, and their work is guaranteed. For free estimates, call American Eagle Overhead Doors of Morrison at 815-400-9075, online at AmericanEagleOverheadDoors.com, or find them on Facebook.
Matt Brooks going to get us our weather forecast. Give us the intro, Matt.
It's time now for the Storm Tracker 8 weather forecast, brought to you by Clinton First Bank.
We'll look for highs today well into the 50s. In fact, getting into the mid to upper 50s could get us a few record highs across the area. An isolated sprinkle can be ruled out, and perhaps a shower after dark tonight. We're down to 34. Tomorrow, still pretty nice, highs of 49, but cooler as we head towards Sunday, partly cloudy and 34. Don't forget the Storm Track 8 weather app to track any of the showers and our forecast for the next 8 days. I'm Storm Track 8 meteorologist Eric Sorensen. Have a great weekend.
Matt, what's the weather statistics for us?
Well, as you knew, I came in with no jacket today.
I noticed.
So currently we have partly cloudy skies and a temperature of 50 degrees. Winds are out of the south at 20 miles per hour. This weather report on KROS has been brought to you by Citizens First Bank.
Citizens First Bank has added security on our website. Now, at gocfb.bank, Citizens First has layered security to give you the very best in online banking and website security. Check out our new site today, www.gocfb.bank. Visit our branches in Clinton or Comanche to learn more about banking with CFB. Banking as it should be, anywhere you go. Citizens First Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
We're visiting with Clinton City Administrator Matt Brook, talking about a number of different things. Matt, you actually brought in some notes. We want to make sure that you are prepared. So what did you bring notes in about that we should make sure people know?
Well, the biggest thing is just a shout out for the Clinton region. You know, superb teamwork. We went to a Clinton County Day in the Des Moines Capitol. It was ushered there by Maureen Miller in the chamber, but it was, you know, participants from Comanche Mayor, City Administrator, DeWitt Mayor, the CRDC, the Chamber, and just a really good group of folks. I truly thank the folks that are representatives, because that would be a tough job. But, you know, from Rita Hart to Mary Wolf to Norlin, all doing great stuff out there. They're working on a hotel motel tax, which actually started, you know, in concert several years ago by Mayor Volich, who worked with the chamber, and that's basically to get an increase of those taxes that we don't see today on long term. If you're staying up to over 30 days, that doesn't exist, so that would help our Clinton Visitor Bureau and our DeWitt Visitor Bureaus, etc., as well as demolition fund. You know, as a lot of citizens will see a dilapidated house that's been burned with a fire, as it's sitting there, to be able to get assistance and be able to get that down so we can get it to a green spate and maybe replace it. But just overall great. As you mentioned earlier, you know, the budget coming out, we're really excited about a lot of capital improvements. Just to name a few pieces, with the pavement management program continuing, the Turtle Creek project bridge in the sewer piece there, but looking at, not to get anybody too excited, but looking at quiet zones. So we're gonna look to conduct a study on what we need to do to move forward to maybe make not as many horns blare on the trains as they come through. So we've been having really good conversations with the Canadian Pacific, and they've shown us a path ahead. And that starts with a study and getting with the citizens and the businesses all up and down the line to look what we can do to close a few, but then also then get them ready for federally funded or federally approved crossings where you don't have to have the horns blaring. Library, looking to spend a lot of money in the library to help out, about $335,000. If you haven't been to the library, go get your card. Holly and crew are waiting for you. But a lot of parking lot pieces, which I know sound where we're putting money in parking lots, but a lot of parking lots have been kind of weighed to waste for years. And so we're looking to add trees and add little sitting areas, but make it more conducive to getting in and out. And that's from City Hall to down at the ball field to fix those up. Also looking at a little more security on Riverfront Drive, so people feel even better than they do already. The part that Josh at Parks is happy about, $100K to start the process on Parks playground equipment out and about. Some monument maintenance, some for those out there on the pickleball, they actually requested to, you know, have the surfaces at Emma Young and also the parking lot at Emma Young. So we have that on the list as well. And then for those softball players, LED lights for a majority of our fields, just to kind of change the paradigm, get more folks. And of course, Jurgensen Sports Complex with the concession stand, restrooms, and irrigation, as that will come to fruition, not next year, but in 2019, we'll start to see the folks out there playing soccer on all those fields. So
here's your recreation tip, because I have not had a chance to look it up yet. That's one of my goals yet. And I guess it's big in the Quad Cities. And I'm not sure how they call it deck hockey. Never heard of it before. And
is that like in tennis shoes or the hockey stick and
yes.
a little ball?
Yes.
Maybe they got that from the universities when they play it in their hallways.
That could be. But I heard about that. I had a person tell me that's apparently big down in the Quad Cities. Three on three, on like a wood surface type with the ball and hockey sticks. And
we'll have to take Comanche on. Clinton against Comanche.
And they said it was really good because, of course, with the Mallards in the Quad Cities, some of the retired hockey players, when they play, they said that's...
They have a stick up, so to speak.
Yeah, they said that's an interesting one to watch because they, you know, they move a little faster. Even though maybe retired hockey players, they know...
And hit probably a little harder.
And, yeah, they probably can control things a little better. But I never heard of that. But it's kind of in the realm of pickleball. It's one of those things that apparently a lot of people play, and they have different leagues and... I never heard of it before.
And we have some really good players in Clinton too. So on the pickleball court.
Yeah,
so.
But they mentioned that was something that they started that a lot of the younger people like to play. That was something that's
awesome.
Was attractive to the younger people. So there's your recreation tip.
We got it.
Look it up, Google it up, and see what that's like.
And the only other big part is we talk about communications, Dave. Is you know we're changing out the phone system in City Hall because since my first year here. A lot of issues. We do it on purpose. Just kidding. But people will call in. You get put in this loop, and you end up, you know, in North Carolina, and you don't get your problem solved. So this will be. We're also when you call in, we'll be able to have messages. So if you're not reading the paper, listening to KROS, you'll be able to call in and be like, "Hey, solid waste is delayed today. Hey, snow. We've had a snow emergency. Please park on the odd side of the street." And that way they can actually get that answer. They don't have to talk to a human then, but then they can actually be directed through the process. And the voicemails that are left will actually go to emails. So we'll be able to track those through our OS ticket system. Email goes in, you have a voicemail, now you have action. Let's make sure we answered those questions of the public that has come in for that. So we're excited. That'll be in the next 45 to 60 days. So it'll be a couple new phone numbers. And of course, we got the lighthouse coming out in February 12th. Okay. So there'll be some new updates in there as well.
Is this something you're driving? I'll be blunt. Is it the phone system and those kind of things of getting things, I don't say accountability or at least tracking things. Are you driving that, Matt?
Sure. Everything's a team effort, but, you know, give my shout out to Stanley McChrystal. So he was one of my bosses years ago and Adam McCraven. But basically it was seamless communications, you know, being of equal footing where everybody has a voice at the table, but being able to communicate back and forth in real time, whether it's my conference room we set up, we can actually do video teleconferences in, which you couldn't before, or it's the city hall. We're going to get ready to where, besides MediaCom, which is the only way you can watch it now, we're going to actually change that system where we're not recording on DVDs, but we're going to be able to stream. I know you guys are all excited at home, but we're going to stream the council meetings live to Facebook, live to YouTube. So all the folks out there, besides just the folks that are using MediaCom, can see and hear what's going on at the council meetings. And that's what you probably saw this past week. There's some morning fog. It's not what you drive in. It's painted on the walls. And so part of the thing also was the backdrop of the council folks. It's that color was actually recommended to Gary Walters to put in there because it's conducive to the filming so people can see and hear the council members and the mayor talking.
Also, too, it's something to mention, I think, is in your CIP plan that you're going to try to go paperless.
Yes. And so, we'll see how it goes. There's always hope. But we'd like to go to some sort of tablet where instead of having, you know, 150 pages printed out for one council meeting or / committee of the whole, they can all be, you know, on a surface and they can actually have their stuff. The one thing we can't do, though, is there'll be some pieces put in there because they can't communicate back and forth. Council members can't send, you know, texts back and forth as they're in the council meeting, but they'll be able to Go on there, flip to the right pages that they're looking at, highlight, write notes on it, so it's everything they need to do without, you know, having, because we do print. And Randy Pinnock will be happy because we're going to save a lot of trees.
Actually, I have heard stories about that, and that some city got they were being taken to task because council members, and they weren't doing that, but they were doing the communication via their computers at the meeting. And they were yep. brought. That's against the rules. Yeah.
Yes.
So that does. You mentioned that people might think about that, but it reportedly has happened. I'm not firsthand, but I heard it from the people from the news media who happened to be covering that town. So it's pretty good sources, as they would say.
Yeah, and of course, and we have our one man, Josh. Shout out to Josh Hansen, but he has the ability though to be able to not have that available during the council meetings. They'll basically be able to go into SharePoint, which we're also going to go to. SharePoint will allow, like, we have some volunteers that are helping us look at the lighthouse before it goes, you know, to publication. But we'll be able to put that into SharePoint, and they'll be able to, as a citizen, reach in there, grab those, read through that, but only have access to that. So it'll allow us, instead of sending an 11 megabyte file to somebody, now they'll be able to have a link, go right into it, and that also cuts down on bandwidth and everything else you're using. So we're just really just trying to streamline processes, because wise men always told me you should always be improving your foxhole. In this case, you should be improving your city in city functions. So that's what we look at.
When you do this, you just have to sometimes drive it ahead and assume and just make the council catch up to you?
Of course not. What I like to do, though, is, you know, the council members have lives too, you know, and they have businesses and they have jobs. And so I just try to, you know, give them as many facts as possible to make them have the best decision they can have. And, you know, early on, there was a couple times where I might get, you know, they say, my folks will say, I'll start flexing a little bit, but it's because I care. But also at the same time, there's nothing that we can't fix if we work together. And that's the point is, you know, and that's when you ask me, like, how did you come up with this concept? It's a team effort. We work together. Information, making sure that the council and the mayor have the right information so they can make those value judgment calls and make those decisions, and also understanding not only what impact that is today, but what impact might that decision have, you know, 5 or 10 years from now as well, because it may feel good today, but it may not be so good in the long run. And that's really working that teamwork piece and part.
Now we've got a couple minutes left. Matt says, what do you do now that you've been here? Says, when you're not, you go home. What's your hobby? I know if anybody knows your wife, it's the chickens in the backyard.
Yep.
And probably 100 other things.
Yes.
But what does Matt Brook do when he's not working?
Well, I read a lot. I think I just finished like 6 books. Not that I have extra time. I'm gonna look at a little woodworking, but not yet. At times I put some models together just because it gets my mind distracted, because I'm always thinking of what else can we do next, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. So it's really being able to turn off as much as I can, you know, watch a worthless movie that, you know, with Sylvester Stallone or something, or just truly read some books. I like to read about 4 at a time, where one's like fiction, one's like nonfiction, one's like, I'm reading Andrew Jackson now, which if those who haven't read should get whole new respect for him, because if it wasn't for him and leading his militia folks down to New Orleans in 1814, we might not have had the West that we do today.